Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I thought I would close this week with one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. It's out of the book of Philippians. Many of our listeners will probably be familiar with this, but it's Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, and this is one of those seminal passages about Jesus. It says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." So Paul was very clear that Jesus was equal to God. Jesus is God. He made that very clear in this passage. And it says he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just such a powerful, powerful passage here.
Yes.
First, in the fact that we get to know a little bit more about Jesus. We get to see his humility in action, compelled by the love that he had for you and me, to the point that he died. He humbled himself to the point of being crucified. That's love in action. A lot of times, we go through life and we know God exists and we know Jesus and we've accepted him into our hearts, but we're not sure that he's willing to handle the situations that we're in. There's that great story of the person that went to Jesus and said, "If you're willing, heal me." And Jesus said, "I am willing." Well, I think we have to understand that he's always willing as far as we're concerned. We don't have to worry about that. Why? Because he's demonstrated his willingness in the fact that he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you're going through something today, rest confidently in the fact that Jesus is God and he's willing to do whatever it takes so that you can experience his life to the full. That's good news, my friends.
That's good news, and that's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. Plenty of time on the clock. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, this is a good opportunity. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Arlington, Texas, and talk to Hiller. Is that correct?
Exodus Schiller.
Okay. Well, welcome
to. How are you
doing today? We're doing fine. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. What's on your mind today?
I was calling, as you may know, as you could tell, what's going on around the world. I would think you guys would agree with me that we're living in the times that's with a war, and it's a spiritual warfare going on, and I believe one of the things that the devil is doing and he's attacking is this, of course, is marriage is one thing, and I think the other thing is the Sabbath. Now, I do observe the Sabbath. I do go to church on Saturday. I observe it Friday evening to Saturday evening. The question that I have for you guys, and I do attempt to obey the commandments, but I know I can't do it, but I know it's possible with the help of the Holy Spirit and, of course, Christ. My question is, why are I guess I have three questions. The first one is, it's said, is the Sabbath on Saturday? That's the first question. Second question is, who changed it from Saturday to Sunday? And the reason why I say Sunday, because the majority of us observe Sunday. And why is it that we're not attempting to try to observe it? Because it talks about the Sabbath and about.
Okay. Well, I think we have a little bit of what you're asking there.
Yeah.
And those are good questions. As far as the Sabbath, it has always been from sundown Friday evening to sundown on Saturday. That's the way it was. That's the way it is. And that's, you know, the way it will be, so to speak, as far as our days of the week are concerned. It's never been changed. Maybe the Catholic Church did something. But as far as, Christians going to church on Sunday, they do so in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we worship. Why? Because everything that we have in this gospel message hinges on the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we are still lost, dead in our sins, without hope. So that's something worth celebrating. And so Christians all over the world usually gather on the first day of the week to celebrate what Christ did in being raised from the dead and what that means to us here and now. But as far as Sabbath celebration, if you read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10 specifically, the writer of Hebrews says that the law was merely a shadow of the good things that were to come, not the realities themselves. So the Sabbath that was talked about in that fourth commandment was merely a shadow of what we could experience by faith in Jesus Christ. And Richard, you have some great insights as to the Sabbath, what that means to us today, and why we don't have to get bogged down on a particular day of the week.
Well, yeah. The first thing I would say is I hope you were listening to how Bob described there's been no such thing as a change in the Sabbath. What we're looking at is a return to what Sabbath was originally supposed to be. Back in the Garden of Eden, the only day that was reported not to have an evening and a morning was the seventh day. Adam and Eve entered into what was supposed to be a perpetual Sabbath rest with God, face-to-face communing with God in the Garden of Eden. They were supposed to multiply and fill the earth, and all people were supposed to live in this perpetual Sabbath. They gave that Sabbath up when they sinned because they lost their relationship with God. They died spiritually. And so when the law was given to Moses and God was preparing a people through whom the Messiah could come, he reminded them of the Sabbath. And that's the way the law was stated. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. I want you to give me 1/7 of your time as a response of faith. And that remained as a shadow until Jesus came, dealt with the sin problem once and for all in his death, restored us to life eternal in his resurrection, and now we are invited to enter the true Sabbath rest, which is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week rest in Christ, because he is finished with his work. Thus, we can be finished with our work. Does that mean you shouldn't observe Saturday? Of course not. I mean, if that day is meaningful to you and all of that, that's great. But I know people who get really upset if you don't go to church on Saturday, and I know people who get just as upset if you don't observe Sunday from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. And it what it does is give the lie to the fact that Jesus has been completely victorious, and we are invited back into this kind of a relationship, and when the final end of things comes, we will be back in that face-to-face relationship with God himself again in a perpetual Sabbath, and sin will never again taint what he created.
Yeah, and here's the great news as far as believers in Christ are concerned. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said. And it goes on to say in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, just as God did from his. So that's this good news of the gospel. It opens up the door so that you and I can rest confidently in the fact that God loves us, that he cares for us, and that absolutely nothing can separate us from our loves, from his love, and we experience that by faith. Well, we certainly appreciate your call today, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Camera, Oklahoma, and talk with Brandy. Hi, Brandy.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing fine. How are you, Brandy?
I'm doing fine. I've been following the story about Mrs. Davis, who is the Kentucky clerk, tort clerk's office, who refuses to issue marriage license out of her office to gay couples because she feels it's against her Christian belief. And I know that we as Christians feel like we're under attack in America currently because the way of the government under the current administration is going very liberal. My only concern is that Paul mentioned several times that he's not here to judge the world, that that is God's job, and that he's only here to judge the church. Also, it talks about, you know, your former life, you were fornicators and thieves and homosexuals, and that you put that away and you've been forgiven. My concern is that Mrs. Davis is causing Christians more of an issue than she's helping our cause. She's not furthering the gospel by bringing so much attention to herself. And if she doesn't agree with the law, she should have gone with the office of the government. I mean, the first century Christians didn't participate in the Roman government because they couldn't agree with it. They didn't participate in the theaters because they couldn't agree with it.
Yeah. Well, Brandy, we certainly appreciate what you're saying there. And, you know, there's some real merit, I think, to what you're saying there as well. You know, Miss Davis, you know, she is suffering for her beliefs. You know, she's in jail. If she had resigned, that would be somewhat the same thing. There would be consequences for her belief. But we all face those sort of things. If we don't agree with kind of the philosophy of a company that we're working with, it doesn't meet what we believe the Word of God has to say or what this gospel message is all about, or it forces us to be hypocritical in our belief system, we all have decisions like that confront us. But our job as believers is to make sure that we have opportunities to proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. We are called to be ministers of the new covenant. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so in all of those situations, I think that's the framework from which we think and process and analyze those types of decisions. How best will the gospel of Jesus Christ be lifted up in this particular situation? Will my decision to take a stand cause the gospel to come under fire, or will my decision to do whatever else enable the gospel message to go forth freely in this world? And that's what we as believers stand for. That's what we as believers want more than anything else, that the gospel be unhindered, that there would be a freedom to express the fact that Jesus died to take away our sins, that Jesus was buried to show an end to that old way of life, and that Jesus was raised back to life, introducing a brand new life for you and me. That's what we stand for, that gospel message. And every decision, any decision that we make in this world as believers should have the gospel as front and center. How can we make ourselves available to God so that this gospel message can be exalted in the world today? Now, if the government came and said to me, "You cannot proclaim the gospel anymore. Send me to jail. If I can't talk about Jesus, if I can't talk about the resurrection of Christ, if I cannot talk about the hope that is in Him and in Him alone and provide the solution that the world desperately needs, send me to jail. And I'll talk about it in jail." That's when persecution of Christians begins, when the government says we cannot talk about Jesus. And that's when we stand up and say, just try to shut me up. But I think as far as these other issues, I think what we need to lift up is the gospel and say, how can we keep that going out unhindered? And if I'm making a decision that's going to clamp down the delivery, the dissemination of the gospel, I need to back away from that decision and make another one. Brandy, hope that helps. We sure appreciate your call. Thank you.
We do indeed. And friends, we want to let you know that we have something very special for you during this month of September. It's Bob Christopher's wonderful CD series called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. And it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Of course, there's a double purpose there. The purpose, of course, is to continue to perpetuate this message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ through the new covenant. And also the opportunity to get this wonderful CD series into your hands as well. So you can go to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page, and make that donation, and we'll get this wonderful CD series on the way to you. The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York, New York, to Joaquin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joaquin.
Hello. God bless you guys. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderfully well. How about you?
I'm doing blessed. Thank you very much, my brothers. I was calling in because I was able to get your book, Simply Gospel, Simply Grace.
Wonderful.
And it was a great read. I'm not a person who likes to read other books besides the Bible, but I got that book. You guys sent it to me, and I gotta say, there was two things that impacted me in that book that perhaps, I don't know, you guys don't give yourselves enough credit for, because I know it's the Holy Spirit, but there was two things that really impacted me from the book, and I encourage people who are listening to really go out and get it for themselves. There was two things that said, "Rejoice not that I know God, but that God knows me." And the other thing that was in the book that impacted me, which I believe many Christians believe that that's what Christianity is where it said Christianity is not a self-improvement program. And my question is, how is it that we can relate that to people without offending their self or their egos?
Well, Joaquin, I think sometimes the gospel message does offend our egos. It does step on our toes. It steps on our self-righteous toes. Paul was one of those guys. He was depending upon his self-righteousness to earn salvation, to earn a right standing before God. But the gospel message stepped on his toes. And he came to the point and said, "Hey, if God's plan for me is to die to the law, die to that self-righteousness so that I can come alive in Christ, I'm going to let go of that self-righteousness. And I am going to embrace this eternal life so that I can be one of the people who can declare that not only do I know God, but I am known by God." And so Paul did that. But I think one of the ways to communicate, to help communicate that, is to tell your own story so that you can have points of connection to whoever you're talking to. So like for me, I wanted to be God's guy. Well, that connects with a lot of people. They want to be God's guy or God's girl in their own right. And they're trying desperately to make that happen. But like for me, it just didn't happen. I fell on my face time and time again. So as you kind of tell your story, folks have an opportunity to identify with your story. And I think it helps them ask the questions, well, what's the solution? I've been trying to do right. I've been trying to live this Christian life like I think I should, but I keep failing time and time again. So how did you get through that? So now you have a conversation going. So I think if you can tell a little bit of your story, some of the struggles that you've experienced, I think that's going to take you a long way in making connections and helping people really open themselves up to the solution of by grace through faith in Jesus.
Very good. Very clear. Thank you very much, Bob.
You're so welcome, Joaquin. And speaking of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we are starting the Simply Grace Tour, and we're going to be in New York City October 24th. All the information on the dates, the cost, the location. We're going to be at the King's College down in the Financial District, but would love to see you there. And for anyone else in the New York area or anyone in the Northeast or anyone who wants to travel to New York, we would love for you to come join us October 24th for the Simply Grace Tour right there at the King's College in the Financial District. We're really looking forward to that day. So come join us, okay?
Okay, I will. I'll check that out on the website.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Joaquin.
Again, all of the upcoming events, you can find them under the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Let's quickly go to Plainsfield, New Jersey, and talk to Paulette. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, how are you?
You're doing wonderful.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Good. I have a quick question. Okay, I'm a Bible study teacher, and I'm a subject came up in my class last week. It was about judging. You know, well, you shouldn't judge somebody. You shouldn't judge somebody. You know, people always say that you shouldn't judge somebody. And I was, you know, saying to them, but there are times where you have to judge the situation or the matter, because how would you know the person if you don't judge the fruit? He said, you'll know them by their fruit. And at some point, do you believe that there is a time where we have to judge? And what is judging in your belief?
Well, Paulette, most of the discussions about judging in the New Testament have to deal with motivation. We don't know what's in another person's heart, so we really don't know what's compelling them to do what they're doing. But we can judge an action. We can say that action is, you know, sin, or that action is loving, or that action is kind. Why they're doing it, we don't know. So God said, stay out of that business. Stay out of trying to figure out what's in a person's heart. Only God knows what's in a person's heart. So quit trying to figure out motivation. Yeah. Yeah. Leave the why alone. Yeah. I think you've got it, Paulette. Well, we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Paulette. You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
You know, the love of Jesus, it's what we talk about every day on this broadcast. It's our purpose to make his love known, to help people hear, believe, and live in the abundance of his love. And many of you have given and supported this message through the months and years, the message you hear each day, and we're grateful for your partnership. If you're new to Basic Gospel and you've heard truth that has made a difference in your life, you too can help. We need your help because there are many others who are mired in religious error, in legalism, and the people that need to hear the truth that will set them free. And you can help us get the word out by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. And remember, for a gift of any amount this month, you'll get a copy of Bob Christopher's series, The Power of Eight. Hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity. Click donate on any page at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you, have a great weekend, and we'll see you for another live edition on Monday.